Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. Today, I want to talk about what people often call my testimony. I've been asked many, many times, when are you going to give us your testimony? And my answer to that is, well, every day when I talk on Gateway to Joy, I'm giving you bits and pieces, because my testimony is that God is faithful. And the only reason that I'm on this program is to try to help other people to really believe that and to live by it. And I don't ever want to be giving out something that I've not lived by myself. Although, please understand, I am very far from being Exhibit A of what I am supposed to be. But I suppose what most people want to know is, when did you get saved, or how did you become a Christian, or what? One man wrote me a long letter insisting in very, very specific terms that I must define for him, when was the blood of Jesus applied to your life? So I'm going to try to wrap up all these terms and just simply tell you a little bit about my Christian experience. You know, for a start, if you've listened to this program at all, that I can hardly talk without quoting hymns. Hymns have been a tremendously important part of my life, and I would strongly commend the learning of hymns to all of you. If you can't sing, you can get yourself a hymn book and you can read and pray through them. Hymns are filled with wonderful prayers. And one of the hymns that we sang in family prayers when I was a child was, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me." The chorus says, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. I'm a sheep, and he's my shepherd. And we were sung to sleep at night with that lovely little children's hymn, "Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me. Bless thy little lamb tonight." I know, as an adult sheep, shall we say an old ewe, that unless I am a faithful follower, I am not going to be blessed nearly as much as if I follow him faithfully. The sheep that insists on going its own way has to be pulled back with the rod and the staff, and that can be painful for the sheep, and it certainly is a nuisance for the shepherd. I don't really want to be a nuisance to my shepherd, but I have been undoubtedly countless thousands of times. But I cannot remember a time when I wasn't a Christian. I grew up in a strong home where I saw godliness lived out in the lives of my mother and father. I heard the Word of God read every day, twice a day at least. We sang hymns together as a family every morning. We listened to the stories of great Christians, many of whom were guests in our home, so we heard them firsthand at the dinner table. We went to church. We went to Sunday school. We went to young people's meeting in church. I went to a little group of girls called Bluebirds, run by a dear Christian single woman who had a heart for the girls in the public school. And so she started this little club. It was in the community house in Moorestown, New Jersey, called Bluebirds. And we met one afternoon a week after school. And she would teach us Bible stories, Bible verses. We would sing a little chorus or two. And then she would teach us to sew or cook or do something useful. And that was an influence in my life. I think of dear Miss Louisa Lippincott, and also Mrs. Sutton, who played the piano back in those days. I'm sure they've both been with the Lord for many years now. But that was an influence. And then the influence of my dear Aunt Anne, who started a Sunday afternoon group for a few girls. I think there were five or six of us in that group, and we called it Christ's Faithful Workers. And Aunt Anne would have us all sit in a circle, sometimes in her bedroom, sometimes in the living room, and she would always have little things for us to do, projects. Sometimes we did things for missionaries, and she would teach us Bible stories. So I had all these wonderful advantages that so many of you did not have. Our parents tucked us into bed at night with prayers and singing. Now, none of these things qualified me for heaven. There's only one thing that qualifies any of us for heaven. That's grace. G-R-A-C-E. But God has given us one thing we can do, one necessary thing, and that is to receive Him, to put our trust in Him. Let me read to you from the first chapter of John, verses 10 to 13. He was in the world, Jesus, of course, but the world, though it owed its being to Him, did not recognize Him. He entered His own realm, and His own would not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, to those who have yielded Him their allegiance, He gave the right to become children of God, not born of any human stock or by the fleshly desire of a human father, but the offspring of God Himself. Tremendous mysteries wrapped up in those few verses, John 1, 10 to 13. The fact that He came to the world at all, isn't that amazing? He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. So when you and I, in our God-given human will, receive Him, then He, in His grace, gives us the right to become the children of God. As a child of 10, I realized that maybe I wasn't born again. I wasn't really sure. I heard a very powerful sermon from John 3:3, ye must be born again, and I thought, uh-oh, maybe I haven't done that. So I made a public profession, standing up in that meeting, that I wanted to be born again, that I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then when I was 12 years old, I realized that if Jesus was my Savior, He had to be my Lord. And I prayed a prayer of total surrender and commitment. Work out your whole will in my life at any cost. Then, I think when I was 21, I had the sorest test of the validity of that prayer. Was it really my will that you were asking for? God was saying to me. And this was when I was wrestling with the question of whether or not I was willing to remain single for the rest of my life. I wanted to be married. I wanted a husband. I wanted children. And the Lord said, but what if I don't give you that? Do you rescind the prayer you prayed at the age of 12? Or do you stick by it? And the prayer had also said, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to take it back. Yes, the answer is yes. I want whatever You want for me. One of my favorite hymns is Beneath the Cross of Jesus. I took my stand beneath the cross of Jesus, and I don't think there's ever a day when the cross doesn't confront me, usually many times, with the same choice that confronted Eve back in the Garden of Eden, before there was such a thing as the cross. Would she do her thing, or would she do God's thing? Do you ever make it through a day without that choice confronting you? And when what I want to do is contrary to what God wants me to do, it means death, death to my self-will. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Life comes out of death, doesn't it? We've been seeing that in Lilias Trotter's illustrations from nature. We've been talking about suffering. There's a small gate, Jesus said, that leads to life. It's the gate of humility, the willingness to identify ourselves with the death of Christ on the cross, in order that we may be led out through that small gate into largeness of life. And so I've been trying for all these years to make an offering of my life, of all that I am, of all that I have, of all that I do, and all that I suffer. And when we do this, it really is our gateway to joy. My testimony is that every death is a gateway to joy. Every form of suffering, every little death, if offered to Jesus, can be a gateway to joy, transfigured in the light of the cross. You know by now, if you've listened to this program before, that my emphasis is never on self-actualization. It's on self-offering. I thank God for the privilege of giving myself to Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.